Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the Union Naval.
And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Welcome, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show, where we want the Republicans out of our bedrooms, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. I'm John Hayward, Deputy National Security Editor for Breitbart News, sitting in for Alan today. Please visit our website at alannathan.com for our podcasts and our showtimes. Lots going on in the world today, a lot to talk about. Also here at home, New York is teetering on the edge of an abyss that may be about to tumble into by electing an outspoken socialist and frankly kind of a lunatic as the mayor, which would go a long way towards proving the wisdom of Alan's mantra, because you really do not want to go this far into cloud cuckoo land. But New Yorkers seem determined to do it. We'll see shortly when they have their regular election. And President Trump is off to the NATO summit over in Europe, in the Netherlands. He's at The Hague. And this has been an amazing spectacle to watch Trump basically roll into this summit like an old Roman emperor on a chariot. You know, they had triumphs in Rome. That's what the word triumph means. They used to have these parades in Rome after a big successful campaign of conquest. And the emperor and the top generals, they would roll around in a chariot or through the streets, and everybody would cheer, yay, go team. And they would maybe bring some captive barbarians with them to show off. And this is Trump rolling into the NATO summit as a colossus bestriding the world. The NATO Secretary General, Mark Rutte, who is a Dutch politician before he got into the NATO gig, he called Trump daddy when he welcomed him to the NATO summit. He said Trump was like the daddy who told Israel and Iran to stop fighting, and he made them stick to their peace agreement. And Trump, of course, with his characteristic humility and modesty, took all that applause. Trump actually took a message that Mark Rutte sent to him, a text message congratulating him, and he posted it, you know, presumably with his approval. I don't think this was a surprise to Mr. Rutte. But Trump posted this thing on Truth Social in its entirety. So you can all read this text message the NATO Secretary General sent him, congratulating him on resolving the Israel-Iran thing, taking out Iran's nuclear program, and also getting NATO members to increase their defense spending to 5%, which is a goal that Trump has been pushing for a very long time. And Mark Rutte supported it. He thought they needed to spend more too. So they were of like mind on the outcome here. And the Secretary General is just over the moon that Trump managed to get these spending increases in place. He welcomed him to The Hague. They had a press conference. And Rutte said this would not have happened without Donald Trump. He is a man of peace, a man of strength, and he's the one that made NATO into a serious military alliance again all by himself. This is astonishing, given the way NATO used to treat Trump. Now, you may recall, in Trump's first term, he was very skeptical of NATO. He said they were free-riding on America's immense defense budget, and they weren't doing enough to pay for their own security, and they were a paper tiger, and he wanted them to spend more, and he actually got them to spend more. He got NATO to substantially increase its defense spending in his first term, but it still wasn't enough. It still wasn't a lot. And Trump said he really needed them to double and then some what they were kicking in at the time. And he made that his mission in his second term. And one of the things during both his first and second terms that Trump did that really has changed the game with NATO is he says every chance he gets that he doesn't feel married to this alliance. You know, if they don't play ball, and if they don't do what he wants them to do, and if they don't pick up some of the slack for defending themselves and enforcing peace in Europe, he is not going to save them. And he says this pretty much every chance he gets. As he was leaving for The Hague, right before he hopped on the plane, he gave an interview, and he said Article 5, that's the article where NATO is supposed to defend other members if they get attacked. He said, well, you know, I may have a different interpretation of that than everybody at NATO does. You talk about rattling a cage. That was Trump grabbing the NATO cage and giving it a good firm shake and making all the pipsqueak leaders in NATO bounce around in there like pinballs and tell them, hey, you know, don't assume that I and the United States are going to go to the mat for you if you don't pick up some of the slack yourselves and stand up. Now, until now, the big rap from NATO, the big storyline, is that they were getting ready for the post-American world because Trump wasn't all in on fighting for Ukraine. He was skeptical of the Ukraine war. And so those NATO leaders were getting ready for a world without America, we were told. They were going to set up this new alliance, and we were just going to sit it out. And now global leadership has passed to the Europeans. What a joke. What an absolute joke. Nothing could be further from the truth. Trump is by far the most important person at NATO right now. Everybody knows it. He walked in there as a titan, and everybody else is kind of scurrying around his ankles and trying to get noticed. And there is no post-American NATO alliance, and nobody there seriously thinks the Europeans can defend freedom or themselves without the United States doing it. Trump has very brusquely laid bare a lot of fictions that were driving American foreign policy for a long time. And there was this attitude that we were, sure, the money bags of NATO. We had the big army. We spend all the money on tanks and planes and bombs compared to them. But we were in some way the junior member of the alliance in the thinking of people like Joe Biden and whoever was making him walk around and talk on any given day. Their whole attitude was that the Europeans were morally, ethically superior to us. And we were basically just there to pay the bills and send some grunts to do the fighting in the worst case scenario. And Donald Trump has completely changed that paradigm, you know, utterly and completely. And there is now no question that the United States is the 100% leader of NATO, and everybody else is just playing second fiddle. You know, they're all along for the ride. They're trying to get stronger. They're trying to do better. And Trump is not shy about calling them out if he doesn't think they're doing enough. On Tuesday, as he was getting on board Air Force One and getting ready to head out to The Hague, he says, you know, Spain is still a problem, and I might have to deal with Spain and Canada. Can't a bunch of low payers. He called them low payers. He basically called them chiselers and said he's going to work on getting the Canadians to pay more for their own defense. I mean, this is a man completely in command of the world scene, and everybody is taking him seriously. And there's a couple of reasons for that. And one of the big ones, obviously, is that we just had a successful bombing campaign in Iran. And more than being a successful, brilliant campaign, which it certainly was, I mean, hats off to everybody who pulled this off. It was stunning what they were able to accomplish in their attack on the Iranian nuclear sites. But more than just being a military victory, Trump basically exposed the whole Obama, Biden, NATO, let's send Iran pallets of cash as just absolute tripe. He just walked in there and rolled up his sleeves and said, nope, no more nuclear program for Iran. Him and Israel just got the job done. And the Israelis got the ball rolling because they went in there first, right after the IAEA, the UN nuclear watchdog, declared Iran to be in non-compliance with its nuclear obligations. And right after they did that, Israel started dropping bombs. And then the U.S. rolls in there, and we did the part we had to do, which was use these gigantic penetrator bombs we have to take out the Fordo facility. This was quick, decisive action, not years of dithering and not handing bags of money to the mullahs of Iran and hoping they don't spend it on terrorism, which they do. I mean, Trump is just clear-eyed about this and very realistic, and a whole worldview that was epitomized not so much by Joe Biden, because he barely knew where he was, but by Antony Blinken, his hapless Secretary of State, has just been obliterated. Like, there's basically nobody left who takes those people seriously anymore after what happened. And when you have a paradigm shift of that scale, when you say, I'm going to blow you up if you don't do this, and they don't do it, and you blow them up, that is decisiveness that the barbaric states of the world can respect. I mean, nobody in Iran doubts that Trump means it when he says they're not going to have a bomb anymore. And people in the Western world, they respect that too. I mean, we talk about trying to be civilized, and we want to be, you know, we want to be peaceable. We want to do things in a rational way. We prefer negotiations to anything else. But at some point, you have to say, look, this is the real red line, not a fake Obama red line, but a real one. And if you cross this, it's bombs away. And then you have to prove that you mean it. And once you've done that, you have reframed the terms of the debate. And that's where we are right now. The entire paradigm of U.S. power has shifted decisively over just the past couple of days. But really, it began when Trump returned to the White House and Biden and his sessile crew rolled out of town after accomplishing nothing. Trump actually said that when he was talking to Mark Rutte at The Hague today. He shook his head and said, everything died under Joe Biden. You know, NATO spending died under Joe Biden. He's right. Nobody took Joe Biden seriously. He's a laughingstock around the world. And the media and the Democrats are busy trying to tell you that Biden was some elder statesman that everybody respected, and Trump is a cowboy maniac that's going to turn us into an international pariah. It's quite the opposite. Trump is the guy they're taking seriously, and they're actually doing things that were supposedly unthinkable before Trump got there and started saying, nope, you got to pay up, got to hit 5%. That's all there is to it. And they're doing it. And under Biden, they did nothing, because for all the media encomiums of Biden as some elder statesman, everybody at NATO knew he was a nothing burger and they treated him accordingly. So everything has changed. Everything is different now. And this NATO summit, I think, is historic as the dawning of a new age of American influence. I'm John Hayward, sitting in for Alan today. We'll be right back with more of The Alan Nathan Show.
It's no surprise that people love their pets. In fact, 97% of pet owners consider them part of the family. Amazon's Jen Ray has more.
Amazon Pet Day makes caring for your pets easier than ever. The 48-hour sales event features thousands of deals with the convenience of Amazon's fast delivery. Whether you're welcoming a new puppy, upgrading essentials for a senior pet, or looking for products that pamper, there's something for everyone.
Nearly two-thirds of U.S. households have a pet. That's 86.9 million homes.
With so many households having pets, Amazon has something for every pet owner and their furry friends, from trusted basics to exciting new favorites across price points. Plus, Amazon is expanding its pet care offerings, now providing prescription pet medications on Amazon.com through VetSource, a leading pet pharmacy.
On May 13th and 14th, Amazon Pet Day will offer incredible deals, including on our most popular and pet-approved brands, like Purina Pro Plan, Iams, PetSafe, O Norman, Ring, and more. Learn more at Amazon.com/Pet Day. As the school year winds down, many high school students are thinking ahead to what comes next. For some, that means staying academically engaged over the summer and preparing for the transition to college. Shauna Thayer, CEO of the online education platform Sophia Learning, has more.
Sophia Learning offers college-level courses that students can take at their own pace and are designed to transfer for credit. This summer, we're giving eligible rising high school juniors and seniors free access to 6 college-level courses. It's a great way for students to get a head start, see what college classes are really like, or try something new without the pressure.
A new survey finds that 72% of high school juniors and seniors who plan to attend college in the next 2 years feel they need to go to college to be successful, but 51% want more time to decide on a major.
Preparing for college is exciting, but can come with uncertainty. This program gives students a chance to learn at their own pace, gain confidence, and make informed choices about their future.
Learn more at sophia.org. That's Sophia with a PH.org.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
hey, you got this. Just breathe. Hey. We're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm your guest host today, John Hayward, Deputy National Security Editor at Breitbart News. While President Donald Trump arranged a ceasefire between Iran and Israel, ending what he referred to as their 12-day war, and then there were some more missiles launched, there was some more shooting, and Trump got very visibly upset with both parties, and lo and behold, they knocked it off and behaved themselves. So this is one of the things he's being praised for at the NATO summit in The Hague. Here with us to talk about the state of the ceasefire and the conclusion of the 12-day war is retired U.S. Army Captain Douglas Ernest, a Desert Storm veteran and entrepreneur and author of The Spirit of a True Patriot, the inspiring story of retired Captain Douglas J. Ernest. Welcome to the Alan Nathan Show.
Hey, good afternoon. The pleasure is mine to be with you today.
It's great to have you on. It's a new world, and NATO, this NATO summit in the Netherlands right now, is the dawning of an entirely new age that we have not seen before. President Trump is being hailed as a conquering hero by NATO when they've been very skeptical of him in the past. And one of the big reasons is that he made this Iran-Israel ceasefire happen, and he wiped out Iran's nuclear program. Nothing succeeds like success, and the NATO guys seem very impressed with him for pulling this off.
You know, this was a complete surprise to me. I've been on hundreds of these interviews over the last couple of years, and a lot of the questions stem from Iran's nuclear program. I would have never imagined 4 months into the Trump administration and the presidency that we would be at this point right now. It is mind-blowing. From my years in military leadership training, it takes years to get to this point. The Trump administration took a pragmatic approach and made sure that Iran would finally pass a litmus test, because they did not do what they said they were going to do. When we not only gave them money, we took them to negotiating tables, and we gave them a chance. The U.S. is now unbridled after the Trump administration was elected to do this job, and the disparities that we've known from the past are behind us. The Trump administration acted effectively, and they used what I would consider the quintessential application of peace by strength. As my years of military training, we've studied peace by strength. We've theorized over it. We've written papers over peace by strength that was developed by Ronald Reagan in the 80s. And Donald Trump and his team used it, applied it. And you can see the effectiveness of what happened, bringing Iran not to their knees, but conforming to the objectives, which is to keep nuclear weapons and enriched uranium out of the hands of the Iranian government and its people.
It is absolutely inconceivable that President Joe Biden could or would have done this. He wouldn't even have tried it. And if he did, it would have been a disaster. We'd probably be hauling body bags back by now from whatever crazy, stupid thing he did. But the Trump people pulled off this operation like clockwork, with complete secrecy, perfect operational security, and pinpoint accuracy. No American was hurt during this mission that just wiped out Iran's nuclear program. It's amazing.
Yeah, it was actually just, you know, shocking to see how it was done so quick. And, you know, one of the problems that I know the U.S. has is the efficacy challenge, and that's being able to produce the desired effect when we've had 3 years of botched foreign policy under the Biden-Harris administration. If you can recall those images on TV of $400 million in cash being flown to the Iranians, if you can recall us unfreezing $6 billion and that money being used to fund Hamas and fund Hezbollah that we used in the October 7th attack on our strategic alliance partners, Israel. It is shocking for me, from a strategist perspective, to see how fast that we have turned. We've not only pivoted, we have done a complete 180. We had the U.S. putting bombs, bunker buster bombs, 30,000-pound bombs, 14 of them, to destroy the nuclear weapons. We're not certain if these weapons are destroyed, but we know they're set back, according to the news feed that we've been reading from all different types of legacy media and more mainstream modern media. We have either set them back months or years, and it will take the UN's Atomic Agency a few more months to understand exactly what's been done. But before that, the most important thing is to continue the negotiation, bring these two sides to the table, make sure there's no more loss of life, make sure we can keep the ceasefire in place, and continue continue to create a symmetry between these nations that will keep peace for not only the U.S., but for our global citizens.
One thing that piqued my interest about this NATO summit is that the European members of NATO generally disagreed with Trump for pulling out of the Iran nuclear deal. They tried to keep it going for as long as they could, and the Iranians kept being intransigent and making ridiculous demands. You would think they might be angry at Trump for dropping bombs and basically scuttling any hope of reviving that nuclear deal, but instead they're all applauding him. They don't seem angry at all that their policy of the last 10 years has just been obliterated.
You know, that's a great point. And one of the things that you don't see coming out of the media, because they're not happy with it, was the mitigating effects of the policies from the Trump administration. And by mitigating effects, I mean, there's not been any calls from Arab leaders to stop taking out the nuclear weapons of Iran, because even though these are considered the same culture, the same part of the world, everybody knows that Iran is the biggest sponsor of terrorism around the globe. And those nuclear weapons could be used against their sisters and brothers in that part of the world. So Arab leaders did not come up and say, nope, we don't want these nuclear weapons destroyed. There was a lot of silence on that part. And then that worked into the other mitigating effect, like you just mentioned. NATO is actually praising Donald Trump after he's made them hold accountable on their budget, making them put a percentage of their 2%, 3%, 5% of their GDP, whatever their NATO agreement is, and actually holding them accountable instead of us funding peace and security around the world with our soldiers' blood around the globe. So what a transformational impact we've seen from the Trump administration. And to be honest with you, I have been on these interviews. I probably, with the Iranian conflict, they spent about 10 days ago, I was proposing that it's going to take a little bit longer. It's going to take a long time. I would never have imagined that the Trump administration could pull this off so swiftly and effectively in such a short period of time. It's shocking, and it's going to go into the military history textbooks as one of the biggest accomplishments in strategy and military history, as far as from my perspective.
This has been a really humiliating couple of weeks for Iran, and really a really bad year for Iran overall, because their proxies were thrashed by the Israelis during the Gaza war. Then the Israelis started bombing Iran and just absolutely humiliated their military like I've never seen a military humiliated before. You almost wanted to throw in the towel and tell them to stop the fight. Then we go in there and drop these gigantic bombs on them. And Iran is a fairly barbaric regime. They've just been exposed as weak before the whole world. Is there a real chance the Iranian people finally rise up against this theocracy now that they've seen how weak and helpless it is?
You know, the Trump administration made it extremely clear that they were not looking for regime change. You know, and there's going to be a paradox of perspective on what would be good and bad. And they decided that our mission was not to relieve the Ayatollah, but the mission was to relieve the nuclear weapon advancement in this part of the region. The symbolic effects are going to linger for decades to come, but the transformative impact on the Middle East is going to be a concrete indicator of how we conduct business in that part of the globe in the future. For the Arabs in that part of the world, they understand that the U.S. means business. We are no longer going to sit by our side, allow our soldiers' blood to be left on the battlefield, and not hold you accountable. There's one other thing that you mentioned, and that was about Iran and their perception. Iran closes out their news feed. If you see, the internet was down, we're not allowing people to message on these platforms the last few months. They did send these missiles to the military base to save face and to show that they can fight back, but they did give advance notice so that there was no loss of life on the American side.
Captain Douglas Earnest, retired U.S. Army captain, a Desert Storm veteran, entrepreneur, and author of The Spirit of a True Patriot, the inspiring story of retired Captain Douglas J. Earnest. Thanks for joining us today. I'm John Hayward, sitting in as your guest host. We'll be right back with more of The Alan Nathan Show.
Summer can be a nonstop sprint for busy families. Between camps, road trips, and backyard barbecues, meals and snacks need to be quick, convenient, and kid-friendly. Lifestyle expert Yvette Rios has tips from the dairy aisle.
June is National Dairy Month, and dairy is a summertime lifesaver. So whether it's string cheese in a cooler, yogurt cups on the go, or even cottage cheese, these grab-and-go staples fuel kids with without slowing parents down. Refrigerated doughs are another smart pick.
According to new research from the National Frozen and Refrigerated Foods Association, 77% of parents turn to dairy for convenient, kid-friendly summer solutions.
There are so many simple ways to build out a meal with dairy. Pasta salads with shredded cheese, veggie trays with ranch or sour cream dips, cottage cheese bowls topped with fruit and eggs for easy breakfast or protein-packed snacks.
To get more meal ideas and snack inspiration, visit EasyHomeMeals.com. That's EasyHomeMeals.com.
It's a well-known fact that guys often skip the doctor when they're sick and delay important health screenings. During Men's Health Month in June, encourage the men in your life to break that bad habit and take charge of their health. Vince Dorsey, a pharmacist and director of medical communications at Esperion Therapeutics, says a great way to start is with a cholesterol test.
The best defense is a good offense. High cholesterol has no symptoms. That's why it's called the silent killer. Don't put it off. Get your cholesterol tested and know your family's health history. You may not realize it, but high cholesterol can be an inherited genetic condition, putting otherwise healthy people, even in their 20s, at risk for heart disease. If you have high LDL or bad cholesterol, it is best to address this as soon as possible. There are ways to lower these levels, reducing your risk of heart attack or stroke.
If you or someone you love has high LDL cholesterol, your doctor may recommend lifestyle changes and medication to keep it in check. Visit heart.org to learn more.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, don't tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp.
I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and that.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm your guest host today, John Hayward, Deputy National Security Editor at BART News. Many members of the Trump administration are angry that a low-confidence intelligence briefing was leaked to the media that said the attack on Iran's primary nuclear facility was largely ineffective and the damage inflicted was minimal. And Trump agencies have been going on the warpath here, saying, no, that's not true. And that assessment was not correct, and it never should have been leaked in the first place. Is this another example of the deep state and the media doing its level best to spin a story their way that seems to be going very, very well for President Trump and his administration? Here with us to talk about it is Mandy Gunasekera, environmental attorney, energy strategist, former chief of staff at the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency for Donald Trump, currently a visiting fellow at the Heritage Foundation, and author of the book, Y'all Fired, A Southern Belle's Guide to Restoring Federalism and Draining the Swamp. Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show.
Yeah, it's really great to be with you.
This really looks to me like an act of sheer desperation. Somebody in the deep state, in the Democrat Party's permanent hierarchy, decided to leak this intelligence estimate just to whip up a quick news cycle, 24 to 48 hours, where all the news networks would say, hey, Trump didn't do anything. He just dropped a bunch of bombs and it didn't do any good. And it was shut down very quickly. I mean, the Israeli intelligence went out and said, no, that's absolutely incorrect. That facility was destroyed.
Yeah, I agree. As you were reframing or restating the story, I was just thinking it's so pathetic. And it shows really how the deep state is dwindling because of President Trump following through on his promises to drain the swamp and restore credibility and public service to the role of someone who works in a full-time position of consequence in the U.S. federal government. It reeks of an effort for those who, unfortunately, still are in the administration, but their time is very limited, especially this person who I believe the justice will come knock in relatively soon for an illegal leak like this. But the people who cannot enjoy how great the actions of President Trump are for the entire country and for the safety and security and longevity, not just of the citizens of our country, but our allies abroad, including our most important ally, which is Israel. And I think it being shut down so quickly, not just by named statements coming from the White House and also the outcomes. You know, if it were true, would Iran have really come to the table in the way that they have and agreed to a ceasefire in the way we're seeing play out? Plus the on-the-ground intelligence reporting from Israel, again, it just shows how out of touch and how desperate the deep state is. And yeah, sure, they still have some friends in mainstream media, but that's not a surprise. Mainstream media has lost its credibility amongst the majority of the American voting public and the engaged American public. And so this story, it should have never happened. It's unfortunate that it did, but I think overwhelmingly the American people support what President Trump has done. They're very excited about it, and they see this last-ditch stunt for what it is.
And Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of Defense, he said anybody who wants to do a damage assessment at Fordow, the Iranian primary enrichment facility, had better grab a really big shovel and start digging because that whole mountain collapsed from the amount of firepower that we directed against it. It turns out they hit it with something like twice as many of these gigantic penetrator bombs as we originally thought they did, which was basically a seismic event coming down on this facility. And the problem with doing a real damage assessment is, of course, that it's in Iran and it's currently swarming with Iranian personnel who are trying to figure out what went on down there. So you really can't just get a big shovel and start digging. It's difficult for anybody, including the Iranians, to truly assess what happened to that facility right now.
Yeah, but we know that the centrifuges were disabled. And, you know, for the uranium that had been enriched to, 60%, you would still need the centrifuges to ultimately get to what Iran was trying to do, which was create a nuclear bomb. That is totally shut down in a very significant way. And again, it's not just me saying it, whereas the left can just say something and get away with it and shape the news cycle, at least for a couple of hours on any given day. This is backed up by people who were on the ground, and there were Israeli folks who were a part of this operation who were on the ground right after the bombing occurred to confirm what we know to be true, is that Iran's nuclear position has been taken away from them in ways that people have been talking about for a very, very long time, that President Trump and our amazing Department of Defense and leaders affiliated with it have actually delivered upon. And again, if it wasn't true, I don't think we'd be talking today about how Israel and Iran have engaged in a ceasefire, and that, you know, they really are that country, and not the country, but the regime itself, the Iranian regime and the Ayatollahs are literally on their heels, completely in disarray. And that's what has actually happened. The words of someone with an agenda to try and make the president look bad. It's very obvious what's going on. So again, I just think that most people see this for what it is, which is a desperate attempt to make the president look bad when he really can't. I mean, this outcome could not have been better.
Vice President J.D. Vance pushed back against this media storm over the low intelligence report there by saying that the centrifuges are the key to understanding what Iran was trying to do. They spent years getting those advanced centrifuges in place, and those things are huge. They're extremely fragile. They can be disrupted by vibrations. They're connected to each other, so you can't just pack them up in a suitcase and roll out of town. You know, it's not like taking apart a still. These things are huge and complicated. So there's no doubt that Iran's centrifuge arrays at both Fordow and the other sites, Natanz and Isfahan, have been severely damaged, if not completely destroyed. And they are years away, if they can do it at all, from putting that kind of centrifuge capability back together again.
Well, yeah. And the folks who designed it, I mean, they've been wiped off the face of the earth, too, because of what Israel did leading up to America actually bombing these various sites. They took out the scientific leadership that was behind the nuclear program in Iran. So they don't have the expertise or the wherewithal. The facilities that took massive resources and many, many years, if not decades, to actually erect is in complete shambles. And then on top of that, you had, you know, I was reading this morning that another aspect is 75% of their ballistic missile capabilities have been taken out as well. So again, what has been achieved is something that folks have been talking about for as long as I've been paying attention to politics in general, and certainly what's going on in the Middle East, is that you have a much weakened Iran with no capabilities to create a nuclear bomb. And the thing, too, is if they do try to rebuild, you know, Israel and President Trump, surely, if they try to do it while he's still president, or anyone who ascribes to the America First movement, they're not going to sit idly by. They're going to make sure that this continues to be the case, not only for the safety of Israel, which is our most important ally, but also the stability of that region in general.
One of the lingering questions is what happened to Iran's uranium? They had about 900 pounds, a little less, of uranium enriched to 60% purity, which is far more than any civilian application could possibly need, but not quite good enough to make a nuclear bomb. You have to get from 60 to 90% to get bomb-grade material. So there is about 900 pounds of highly enriched uranium, and we don't know where it is. And the International Atomic Energy Agency says they don't know where it is. They just admitted they don't know. And that's a problem, because Iran is supposed to tell them where that stuff is at all times.
Yeah, well, you know, they also made clear that Iran was basically violating all of the various protocols that they had purportedly agreed to leading up to the absolute destruction of these key sites. So, yeah, I do think there will be efforts to track that enriched uranium down. The good news, though, is that even a 60% upgraded uranium, it can't make a bomb. You need the centrifuges to get to that 90%, and we have totally eradicated that capability.
And the remaining uranium is potentially dangerous because you could make a radiological bomb out of it, a dirty bomb, as people like to say. But they could have done that at any time over the past any number of years. And as you pointed out, now their ballistic missile inventory has been severely depleted. So their option to use a dirty bomb seems to have been greatly reduced.
Yeah, absolutely. And the intelligence supporting the actions of the IDF, the Israeli government, in coordination, at least in some parts, with the U.S. government. I mean, there's no one out there that that can track down and nullify threats like we saw with the bombing of these Iranian nuclear facilities. So I have no doubt that they will. They're not just going to, you know, wash their hands of this situation and move on. They're going to ensure that the task is complete. And I imagine that we'll be finding out relatively soon where this hidden enriched uranium is, and it'll be dealt with accordingly.
And President Trump pretty much literally said, okay, bombing's over, time for peace now, after the bunker busters hit. Do you think Iran will come back to the table and make a deal? We'll give you the last word.
Yeah, I do. I mean, we're already seeing evidence of that. They're engaging in conversations that seemed unfathomable even just a few months ago. So it's a new world. And this is the president's peace through strength and action. And it's working quite well to the benefit of our country and our allies abroad.
Mandy Unisekra, visiting fellow at the Heritage Foundation and author of the new book, Y'all Fired, A Southern Belle's Guide to Restoring Federalism and Draining the Swamp. Thanks for being with us today. I'm John Hayward, sitting in for Alan. We'll be right back with more of The Alan Nathan Show.
Planning a summer road trip? You're not alone. Over 75% of Americans are hitting the road this season. But before you pack the snacks and playlists, make sure your car and your car insurance are road trip ready. Start with a full vehicle checkup. Brakes, oil, tires, wipers. Pack an emergency kit. Learn how to change a tire and bring a backup map because GPS is not always reliable out there. Understanding your coverage is important as well. Although many people think they understand their insurance, a recent survey found 96% of drivers misunderstood at least one part of their policy. And that's where the General can help. With our app, you can review your policy, file a claim fast, or get a quote in 2 minutes or less. At The General, our mission is to give people a break when they need it most. And that's why we've made managing your car insurance easier, faster, and smoother, so you can stay focused on the road ahead. Planning a trip? Visit thegeneral.com so you can hit the road with confidence.
With the cost of living rising dramatically, budgets are tight and customers are looking for ways to stretch their dollars. T-Mobile has launched two new experience plans, adding industry-leading value and savings, plus a 5-year price guarantee, so customers can rest assured that the price of their talk, text, and data stays the same. The Experience Beyond plan includes over $200 in added value for every line every month, with satellite connectivity, yearly device upgrades, and an entertainment streaming bundle that includes Apple TV+, Hulu, Netflix, and more. For more information, visit t-mobile.com, sponsored by T-Mobile.
National Iced Tea Day is just around the corner, and it's the perfect time to celebrate everyone's favorite summertime beverage. As a tea sommelier, I'm always looking for tea products with high-quality ingredients that are sourced responsibly. When it comes to a bottled tea, my go-to is Tea Java. It's brewed in small batches using quality tea leaves from Java, Indonesia. No sugar, no calories, and no added preservatives. Just a refreshing, authentic tea like I brewed it myself. Tea Java is a must-have this summer. You can learn more at teajava.com.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm gonna keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times, when we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while? Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart and don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. For help keeping yours at a healthy range, text PRESSURE to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. so you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair, and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all got to help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're going to be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Back to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm your guest host today, John Hayward, Deputy National Security Editor at Breitbart News. And when President Trump got to the Netherlands for the NATO summit, the NATO Secretary General, Mark Rutte, said he was like a daddy who had gotten Israel and Iran to stop fighting. And he did it with some salty language. The incident that Rutte was kind of humorously referring to was when Trump was talking to reporters, and he used a four-letter word when he said that Israel and Iran have been fighting so long they don't know what they're doing anymore. Everybody in the Middle East, actually, was what he said. So this was all kind of done in jest. And Trump was asked about it at a press conference. So he's giving a press conference at the NATO summit, and Secretary of State Marco Rubio is standing behind him, as one does, when you're with the president and he's giving a press conference. You're one of his secretary's cabinet officials. You're supposed to stand there behind him looking strong and stoic and so forth. So Rubio's doing that. And they asked Trump, what about the Secretary General of NATO calling you daddy? And Trump says he did it very affectionately. He said, daddy, you're my daddy. And when Trump says that, Rubio just absolutely loses it, just cracks up laughing, you know, can't do the stoic stone face act anymore, just starts, you know, laughing his butt off back there. And it was a very human moment. It was a funny moment. I mean, everybody thought it was pretty amusing. The whole thing is pretty funny. And I'll tell you, humor is a sign of strength. And having a sense of humor about things like this is a sign that you're not prickly and oblivious, that you're not so married to your own agenda and talking points, that you're not aware of what's going on around you. And that's one of the things people have always liked about Donald Trump ever since he first got going in 2016 as a serious candidate and came to dominate the Republican primary. It's not just that he says memorable things, you know, he's very watchable and he's a showman, maybe the best one since Reagan to take the stage. Reagan also knew how to hold the stage and how to be funny. Reagan had an amazing sense of humor, and some of the things Reagan said have become immortal from some of the little jokes he told. And Trump is like that too. He's humorous. He holds a crowd. But one thing about humor is that humor is an act of awareness. When you're funny, when you're genuinely funny, and you can make the Secretary of State crack up right behind you like 2 days after you just fought a war, when you're genuinely funny, that means you're aware of what's going on around you, you're fast on your feet, you know what you really think, what you really mean, what you really want to say. You're not trying to remember the stack of cards that your aide prepared for you. You know, we keep harping on Joe Biden here, and in some ways it's unfair because the guy was mentally damaged. So all he could do was read off of his little cards, and they had pictures on him of who the reporter was, and they were just hoping his aides had their fingers crossed every day, hoping he could get through some press conference and then go back to the tomb where he hid during his entire administration. But Biden is just an extreme example of what a lot of politicians are like. You know, they just read their talking points, and these are prepared for them by other people, and they don't have any strong convictions of their own, and they're not very good really at thinking on their feet, and Trump is. He knows what he wants, he's not making any secret about it, and he's basically telling everybody that if you didn't get it the first 20 times I said I'm looking for something like 5% spending from NATO, you're obviously not paying attention, and I'm not going to keep repeating it. You know, so he goes in there with this kind of tough guy swaggering attitude, and people do respond to that. One thing about Trump that I think the NATO summit is reflecting is that he's very obviously on Team America. And you can't always say that about American presidents, certainly not about Joe Biden and his crew. I mean, they mostly seem like they could barely tolerate being in the same country as Americans on a good day. You know, they really weren't playing for their own team, and everybody knew that and exploited it as a kind of weakness that they could take advantage of. And Trump is wholeheartedly pro-USA, make America great again. He lives it, eats it, breathes it every single day. And when he does something like go into NATO and say, okay, we're going to start paying 5% for defense now, this is his time to get serious here, they're taking him seriously. I mentioned earlier, I was really intrigued by how the Europeans are not complaining that Trump just dropped like 1 million pounds of bombs on Barack Obama's legacy over there in Iran, because that's what he did. He blew the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, the Iran nuclear deal, to smithereens when he dropped those bombs. It's never coming back. I mean, it's a footnote in history now, and history is going to regard Obama's nuclear deal as a horrific mistake, which is what Trump always said it was. It was a bad deal. It was foolish. The Iranians cheated on it from minute one, obviously. Since they have all these uranium centrifuges and 60% uranium, they weren't taking it very seriously. The Obama nuclear deal was a bizarre, twisted bet from some very deranged people, Barack Obama and the people that work for him. They were not right in the head. And they had this idea that Iran was going to become some strong U.S. partner for peace if we just threw piles of money at them and indulged their nuclear fantasies and made them into the dominant power in the Middle East. Well, they would be a little easier to deal with than the Sunni Muslim monarchies that were our traditional allies. And these guys thought they were geniuses for thinking this up, that they were just going to turn American foreign policy 180 degrees around in the Middle East and go pro-Iran. And nothing could be further from the truth. They were maniacs. And the nuclear deal was absolute idiocy. And Trump was absolutely correct about it from minute one. It did nothing to slow down Iran's march to a bomb. On the contrary, it greased the wheels for Iran to get that nuclear bomb. And one of the big ways it did it was by filling Iran's pockets with cash and letting them buy these centrifuges. The centrifuges that Trump took out when he bombed the Fordow facility and the Natanz, which is where a lot of the other ones were, those things cost a lot of money, and Iran got them because Joe Biden gave them the money and Barack Obama gave them the money to purchase that equipment. And in the end, that was all that mattered. Iran just needed a little time to get those centrifuges going and purify that uranium, which, by the way, is not easy to do. Purifying uranium is very difficult, and very few scientists in the world are anywhere near as good at it as the U.S. and Russia, obviously, because we're the original nuclear powers, so we're better at it than they are. But it's really hard. You know, it's not like making a smoothie. You got to spin those centrifuges for a long time to separate uranium down to purity levels, and some of the batches go bad. You got to start over, and it takes a long time. And when you get to 60%, they say you're at the threshold, because with the most powerful, sophisticated centrifuges available, you can take the final step to 90% weapons grade in 2 or 3 weeks. Is the estimate you normally hear if they start making a devoted effort to do that. But that means using all of your centrifuges night and day, 24 hours around the clock, to take that final step to get to 90%. That capability that Iran could do that is Barack Obama's gift to the Ayatollahs of Iran. That's what he gave them, the time, the money, and the access to the equipment to get to that stage of nuclear threat. And Trump took all that away. And I think that's one of the reasons why, knowing that, the European members of NATO are not mad at him for blowing up the nuclear deal. They should be. For years, they've been saying it was a mistake for Trump to pull out of the nuclear deal in his first term in 2018 when he did. For years, they've been trying to keep the deal alive and begging the Iranians to keep coming back to the table. And then Trump just basically rolls up in a jacked up 4x4 truck and throws dynamite at the nuclear deal and drives away. And they're not complaining, because they know it was a farce and they know it was never going to work. So what we got over this weekend was a dose of hard, cold reality. And hopefully we'll have a lot more reality-based foreign policy coming our way from America and Europe in the years to come. I'm John Hayward, sitting in for Alan today. Thanks very much for joining us on this hour of the Alan Nathan Show.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.